Dr. Howard, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on, sir. You're a master of patience. Now, accents aren't just an international phenomenon. They can even happen regionally. What social codes or factors might be involved in accents forming in a more localized context?
Well, we get our accents from our parents initially. Once we are born, we tend to adopt the accents of our parents. And then once we get to about the age of six or so, we shift to our friends at school. So what typically happens is we adapt the accents of the kids around us. As an example of that, my kids had American accents until this year, and now that they've gone to school, they've begun to sound like you lot.
Dr. Howard, could you describe the sociolect continuum for a non-linguist audience, sir?
Yeah, totally. Since the 1960s in Australia, there's been this perception that there is a continuum of accents that people use here. So there have been three accents proposed for Australia. A cultivated accent, and that's one that sounds a bit like a British received pronunciation, the Queen's English. We also have a broad Australian accent, and the broad Australian accent is the accent you think of with Crocodile Dundee or the Bushmen or people in regional areas. But most of us here in Australia, most people in Australia use the general accent, and people are using the general accent more and more. And part of that reason is that the broad accent has a bit of a stigma attached to it, but also the cultivated accent has a bit of a stigma attached to it. So up until the 1960s, a lot of us would have been trying to affect this British accent because the people of the time were very British-oriented. But now that we're very comfortable with ourselves here in Australia, we're seeing growing numbers of people avoid that cultivated accent and, yeah, use general Australian English.
So there is some intent behind it then, behind the cultivation of an accent. It's not just, environmental factors, so to speak, it's not just the people around us. We can affect our own kind of dialect ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you mentioned the area around us, or rather the climate around us, because that was actually where people perceived when people didn't feel very good about the Australian accent, they blamed it on the climate. So it was the pollen, it was our bad dental hygiene, all kinds of things came out in the 1960s.
It was witchcraft.
Exactly. But ultimately we can cultivate our accents. And with this sociolectal continuum we were talking about, the cultivated, general, and broad, generally we don't have one of these accents, but rather we can shift between them depending on whatever context we're in. An example of that is Barack Obama. So Barack Obama was actually very good at shifting between, if you talk to, for instance, an African-American church, he could sound very African-American, but if you listen to him in more formal context, he sounds like he's speaking standard American English. But we needn't actually even go that far. Here in Australia, we often think of Bob Hawke as having this very broad accent, but if you listen to Bob Hawke talk to people in the pub, or if you listen to him on the campaign trail, he often sounds like he's using a broad accent. But if you have a listen to, for instance, the Deakin lectures or him in international context, he actually speaks very general and sometimes even cultivated.
Interesting. Yeah, you speak a lot of kind of political situations there, speaking of how, somebody might speak a certain way to interact with their audience efficiently, that sort of thing. Does the layman, so to speak, do we unconsciously adapt to kind of match with the other person's accent sometimes in conversation? Is that an observed phenomenon?
Yeah, totally. And in fact, that's one of the large drivers of language change, and it's one of the large drivers of us speaking in a situation. So if we're talking to somebody and we like that person, or if we want to be liked by that person, we'll do whatever we can to sound like that person without sounding inauthentic. So, for instance, if you met me in the street and I began speaking to you in a general Australian accent after you already knew I was American, you'd probably give me a bit of a funny eye because it wouldn't be very authentic. But ultimately, that's what we do if we like people. But if we don't like people, or if we if we're trying to assert a difference between ourselves and somebody else, we'll strengthen our accent. they're our own accent. There's a very famous study actually done. Somebody sat down with a Welsh speaker, a Welsh English speaker sat down with a British English speaker. And in the beginning, the British English speaker is having a casual conversation with the Welsh speaker. The Welsh English speaker begins to speak the Queen's English, trying to adapt. But the British interviewer is actually set up to begin antagonizing the Welshman about Welsh identity. And once he does that, well, the Welshman turns on his full Welsh English accent.
Sounds almost like a fairy tale, you know, three characters sat in a bar, and by the end of it, they're all speaking each other's languages and forgotten their own, that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Will a foreign accent, will it unfairly impede one's kind of position or progress in society? Is that something that might cause issue there, do you think?
Well, you mean with,
Yeah, if you're, somebody from, outside of Australia and you have an accent that is not, not Australian, can that cause issues, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the important thing to remember when we're talking about accents and when we're talking about the way that people feel about accents is people's opinions about accents aren't generally opinions about the accent, but rather the speakers or users of those accents and their perceived qualities. So in a lot of ways, the views that people hold toward accents are just reflections of society more generally, and in this case, prejudices in society. Mm. And it's often so deep that even I've done some work with the Sudanese community here in Australia, and you have people who are actually native English speakers who grew up in the Sudan and East Africa and other areas, that area of the world, and when they've come to Australia, they've experienced prejudice because they didn't use, well, people perceived that they were second language speakers, for instance.
Yeah. Sometimes being unfairly biased towards that sort of thing. Well,
yeah,
it's definitely a phenomenon that that we can observe. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Dr. Howard. I appreciate you coming on and sharing with us the good word about accents and ascent of ascent.
My pleasure, Ben.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.